has a topic that has intrigued me for many years. Not so much when I was younger, but as I got older, especially after I was married, the church that we attended, we had a discussion back in the 40, well, many years ago. I won't go into that. But my wife and I were, in the eyes of some, unequally yoked. And that theme has intrigued me and interested me about what that meant. I kind of took it as an insult that they would think that. But they, you know, as I've got older and as I've stayed in the church and read the scripture, I can certainly see where they're coming from. She was a very strong Christian, and I was not. She was brought up in the church. I was not. And so in their sight, we were unequally yoked. And there were some that would have thought that she probably should not have married me. I don't feel that way, of course. I'm glad she did. I praise God that she did. Because I'll tell you, if she had not, I would not be before you today. There is no question in my mind that I would not be before you today. God deals with folks as he sees them. He calls us to come to know and love him. And it was because of Ella Jane that I came to know and love him. Make a little confession here now, but it was, you know, about 50 years ago, so some of it's passed, and I was a different guy then. I was before I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But she would cajole me on Sunday mornings. She would cry, do anything to get me to go to church. And I just said, you know, I believe in God, in the sense that I believed in God. And I wasn't his enemy. I think if I'd have died and stood before Christ in those days, and he said, well, you're going to hell, I would say, well, yeah, I guess I deserve it, all the things that I've done. And he could look at me and say, no, I don't mean what you've done. I mean that you never accepted me as Lord and Savior. I would have argued that point. Because in my eyes, I felt that I was a pretty good guy in that sense. But he would have been right. And Ella Jane was cajoling, just kind of got to me. And after a while, I just, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I haven't been the same since. I've been going to church. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So happy that I did, obviously. But I was looking at it, and then when I hear this unequally yoked, I think about those days. But you know, most people think of unequally yoked when they hear that term. They do think about marriage, about the partnership in marriage. And I want to talk to you today and suggest to you that the scripture in 2 Corinthians is far more broader than that. Far more broader than marriage. Let me get my Bible. That would help. Second Corinthians. I'm going to 2 Corinthians. You can go with me as I do it. Chapter 6, verses 14 through 7. Chapter 7, verse 1. Here we go, I think. I had the place all set, and then I took the place that set out. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin with verse 14. And we see familiar words, but hopefully a little different slant this morning. Do not be unequally yoked with believers. But what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with the unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of God, of the living God, as God said. And quoting here from several of the prophets, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separated from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be the father of you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit and bring holiness to completion in fear of God. I think you can see here just in these verses that there's a lot more involved in these scriptures than merely marriage. It covers all the activities that we do, and it's often associated, though, with that, the marriage. But Paul makes it clear himself in Deuteronomy chapter 22. I'll get to that one real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. You would say, wouldn't you be ready to have these things mentioned? I did. But the day is not working. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Listen what he says here. I missed my place. Let me go back. These verses cover a lot more than, as I said, than just marriage. And when I was looking for Deuteronomy chapter 22, I was really looking at what God had said, the prophets had said of old. God had given the laws to Moses. And what the law God said in those laws, to this law, and among those laws to Moses was, you shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. That's where unequally yoked came from. It comes from the Old Testament, comes from one of the laws that God gave Moses. And he's talking in practical terms with to Moses to tell the people, do not plow with unequal animals. Don't plow with an ox or a donkey. They're different sizes, for one thing. If you're plowing in a field, you're plowing a row, you're going down, if you have two unequal animals, one will be stronger, one will be weaker. One will be larger, the other will be smaller. It will be very difficult to plow that straight row if you're plowing with those animals. The strong one want to go one way, the weaker can't keep up. And so God is telling folks, in a sense, don't do that. And then Paul extrapolates it and says, don't be unequally yoked, because that's what happens. You cannot be on the straight, narrow, straight line if you're unequally yoked. I hope you're getting the point here through my stuttering here at the beginning. God is saying, has said in the old days, in the Old Testament, do not plow with two unequal animals, because you cannot keep a straight row and you cannot plow as you should. And as Paul is talking to the church at Corinth, he's using that example to them, because that's pretty much what they're trying to do in the church. Corinth, if you're familiar with it at all, Corinth was an evil city. Corinth that Paul went to, it had already been. He'd written another letter to them previously, and he had chastised them because they were dealing with the ungodly. Corinth was a city with many temples. Right outside, there's a huge Acropolis, and up on top of it is a temple to Aphrodite. That was the Greek god of love and pleasure, and they even had temple prostitutes there. And the people in the Christians in the city of Corinth was associating with those folks. And they even had some in fellowship in the church. This is what Paul is making reference to. It's a spiritual thing. Do not try to associate and have these people in your church. It's the same as being unequally yoked. So that's the illustration that he had. And so he said that you would not want to do this, because there'd be an unbalance. You'd have mixed the clean with the unclean, and there's no way that you can serve God's purpose doing that. So we see then that there's a principle set up here, and it's far more broad than just dealing with marriage. It deals with all the spiritual things that we are involved in. Let's look at the, the scripture a little bit. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And that's what the word means as unequally yoked. You've got two different species, if you will, two different objectives, and two different results. And he says that can't be in the church. Same with us here, folks. We can't be worshiping God if we have people here who are acting contrary and believing contrary to that. And he says here that, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What partnership? That means an association that you have either in a business or a commerce type situation, and what with lawlessness. Lawlessness means dealing with those who are rejecting the word of God. We can't have a church if we would have people here who do not believe in God, do not believe the same things we believe in, who do not worship God, who mock him. That's what some of these people. Lawlessness here means a total disregard for God's law and God's word. How could a church survive? And so Paul is admonishing those people in that church in Corinth, you cannot do this, though they were doing it. And he's telling them, you cannot do this. What fellowship has light with darkness? How can we have fellowship with those who don't agree with us and those who don't see the light that comes upon us with the Holy Spirit and with God has? What accord has Christ with Belial? Belial is a Hebrew word. It means worthless, wicked. But in the scripture and in the first century, it pretty much was another name for Satan. What fellowship do we have with that? What portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? And again, this is not just in marriage. That's in our business relationships. That's with our companionship with one another. What kind of relationship can we have if we're talking about Jesus Christ and following Jesus Christ and they are ignoring us and say, I don't want to hear it? What kind of fellowship can that be? I mean, it's bad enough in the world, but what about in the church? What kind of fellowship can there be among people in the church if they're at different odds and one doesn't accept Christ at all? I've had that in my family. You probably have too. I had a younger brother. He asked me, I think I might have mentioned this before. Can't you say anything without bringing God into it? And I just tell him, no. No. And I did till the day he passed. So we can't dwell together like that. It says, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? The temple of God back in the early days might be the temple there. But here, what does he say? Who is it, the temple of God? He says, for we are the temple of the living God, and as God has said, I will make my dwelling upon them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Folks, if we really believe we're the temple of God, we'd be careful of who we associate with. We'd be careful of what we deal with. We need to look at the fact. The scripture tells us we're the temple of God. We ought to believe it. We ought to believe it. Therefore, he says, therefore go out from among their people. That means depart. Depart. Move out and be separate from them, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing. We should not be involved in that as Christians. And then he said, then I will be your God. I will be your God. I heard a quote recently and made some sense to me. It was talking about where we could spend our eternity. And the quote was, you cannot walk with God in heaven if you've never walked with him on earth. I think it makes some sense. You don't say, hey, I will wait till I get to God and I'll do this. If you don't believe in God, if you've never walked with him here, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to be walking with God in heaven. Just not going to happen. But he says here, then I will be your father and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Since we have such these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Holiness, that means that we have a reverent a reverent obedience to God. He is our God and our leader. And we cannot associate with people who are counter to that. The problem that would be that would arise, of course, would be here in the church, as it was in the church at Corinth. You would have false teachings injected into it. You would have people going and doing sinful things, being influenced by those folks. You can't have it. You just cannot have it. And so we have to have that reverent obedience to God to be able to walk as God would have us walk. Now, part two. Is Paul telling us that we must be totally separate from unbelievers? That we can have no association with them whatsoever? I tell you, it's going to be difficult in this world. You want to try that? How are you going to work? You work among unbelievers? You might have bosses with unbelievers? And what about marriage? So get to that. What are we supposed to do if we are married to an unbeliever? Paul, and nowhere in Scripture does it say we are supposed to divorce them and leave them. We're supposed to stay there. We're supposed to work through it. If they can influence us, why can't we influence them? My wife influenced me. I'm here before you because that's supposed to. Suppose she had took that literally and says, I'm going to divorce this guy. He's not turned out. Well, I can't say that. She knew what kind of guy I was. I was going to say he didn't turn out like the kind of guy I thought he was. But don't blame her for that. Blame me. All right. So what would do? Do we leave these people? No, we do not. And Paul was clear on that. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, 9 through 13. Paul talking about the very thing. And he's talking about a third letter he wrote. We have 1 Corinthians, we have 2 Corinthians, but there was another letter, evidently. And he talks about that. Listen to what he says here. I wrote you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Listen, this is Paul's wording. Not at all. Meaning the sexual immorality of this world, or the greedy and swindlers, or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of this world. How true? How true? How could we have any interaction with any people? How could we do any business with anybody, have any commerce with anybody, any association with anybody, if we just stayed away from all of these folks? He said, but now, verse 11, I'm writing to you not to associate who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or as an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. He said, I'm not saying don't associate with anybody in the world, but I am saying you do not do that within the church. You do not allow these unequal yoked people to come into the church. It's much of a spiritual matter. And he makes that clear, I believe, in this scripture. He said, I'm writing to you to not associate with anyone who bears the name of brother. Anyone who comes into the church claiming to be a Christian and starts is ungodly ways, influencing other people, that's what Paul is warning about. And we've seen that, have we not? We see it today. There are churches and people being led astray by people claiming to be Christians, people who operate in the name of God. And Paul is saying, that's what I'm talking about. Don't associate with such people as that. It would be difficult, as he says, to even communicate in this world without it. We need to put things in a proper context. And I think a lot of people do not. Those who center on only marriage in this unequally yoked business are missing the boat. Certainly that's part of it. Certainly, if we are unequally yoked, there's a good chance that we will not be followers of Jesus Christ. There's a good chance that we will not be saved. And there's a good chance maybe we would influence our partner in the sense that we would take them down and diminish their walk with God. Certainly possible. But there are also other instances in which we should not be unequally yoked. We need to be careful, friends, of who our associates are, whether they're business associates or whether they're personal associates. We really need to be careful. I have a lot of friends, and not all of them are Christians. But I'll tell you another thing they're not. They are not profane people. They are not people who curse, who cheat, who lie, who steal. And we have a good fellowship together. Now, that's fine as long as they are that way. If they got to the point where they were influencing me some other way, to lie, cheat, steal, curse, all of that, then that would be a warning. That would be something then I would need to sever our relationships with. And I have over the past, so have you. You have seen people that you don't want to associate with because of the way they are and how they act and how they treat others. That's legitimate. You should do that. It's like, you know, the saying about one bad apple in a barrel ruins them all. That happens. They could influence you, and the next thing you know, you're going along with them. We have to be careful. We have to be very careful about that. And so we see then that Paul is giving something of a qualifier. I think when he writes in the letter to the churches of Corinth, he has to apologize. They were so harsh one time. Maybe this is this letter. But it's an acceptable harshness, as I see it. The church at Corinth, if you don't know the history, I couldn't tell you just how evil that city was. They had idols. I told you about, the temple of Aphrodite up on the Acropolis outside the city. Horrible things went on there, idol worship. This was going on in town as well, folks. There were temple prostitutes in that temple. They were in the city. And it's pretty obvious to me from Paul's writing that the people in the church were participating in these things. That's what he's saying. You cannot be a Christian and associate with people who are enemies of God, people who don't want God. Again, marriage is included, but I hope I'm at least pointing out to you today it is a much broader application than just with marriage. Now, I'm writing to you not to associate with anybody who bears the name of brother, if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or swindler, and not even eat with one. Well, I can't hit all of those. I think in my life I tried a little bit of all of it, but not all of these things here. But I was not a believer. I went to church. I grew up in church. See, even so-called Christian friends can lead you astray. I grew up in the church. I was baptized when I was 13 in a Baptist church. I became a Methodist in high school for deep theological reasons. The girl I was dating went to MYF. And I even taught Sunday school as an adult before I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Fortunately, did not hate God. I don't think I led any astray, but I can tell you, I probably didn't eat a lot. I did not lead a lot to Christ. But I met a good woman, and God had her influence me. And I want to say this, too, real quick. When she passed away, I thought all was lost. But as you know, God gave me another good woman. He gave her another good woman because I think he said, Grimes is not going to make it much on his own. I need to have someone that will remind him of the way. That's a godly woman back there, folks. And how blessed I am. I mean, many men would be blessed to have one godly woman. I've been blessed to have two. And God knows I need it, and I'm sure. But if I go astray, she's there to influence me. And that's what we should do. If we're supposed to be in the world, not of the world, how in the world can we be an influence of anyone? How can we lead anyone to Jesus Christ? How can we evangelize if we just separate ourselves from everybody that we say is not a Christian? First of all, it's not our business to say who is a Christian or not. We don't know what's somebody's heart. But we can tell from their actions, can't we? We can see whether or not that they're following Jesus Christ or not. And we can try to influence them. That's what we're supposed to do. Go out into the world and baptize in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have something of a task there. But we cannot associate, I think personally in our personal lives, in our business lives, certainly not in our church lives, with someone who refuses to listen, someone who hates God. I'll bring up that hates God and that preaches against God and who will not follow his ways. I think we just need to understand that Paul's not talking about us in any sense of the word of compromising ourselves with evil. He's not saying anything, well, this is important, but don't worry about it. He should worry about it, especially in the church. Look what he says here as we continue a little bit. He says, verse 12, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? People outside the church. Is it not those inside the church whom you ought to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. We're not to close our doors, dear friends, to sinners. If it was, I don't know how many of us would be here. We're supposed to welcome them, but we're supposed to be influenced to them so that they would change and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I would pray, and I know from Todd's viewpoint, and maybe I hope from mine, I preach strictly from the Scripture. I preach what God's Word says. I hope that's true. I'm not interested in man's interpretation of God's Word. I'm interested in learning what God meant when he inspired the men to write these words. That's what we need to seek. And we should not compromise that in any sense. We should never say it doesn't matter because it matters a great deal. But we could be an influence. If evil people can influence us, then we can influence evil people. And we can't influence evil people if we don't associate with them and if we just disregard them out of hand. We cannot do that. And we're not supposed to do that. So we can be friends with unbelievers. And we can have commerce with them, but we are not supposed to be influenced by them, whether it's in marriage, whether it's in business, whatever. We should not be influenced by them to the extent that we would fade away from the church. We are to be, as I said, in the world, not of the world, and we are not to conform to the world. Paul did not say that Christians should never associate, as I said. We must never let the world adversely influence us either. We must not. We must be always be vigilant, because I'll tell you, some people are pretty sharp, some people are pretty canny, even in the churches. We need to be careful. Need to be careful of what you watch on television, especially the church services. I watch some of them every now and then with my Bible. And it's amazing what they're teaching and calling it Scripture. The only way you're going to know, folks, whether it is or it isn't, is know the Word of God. You need to study, and you need to keep the Word of God before you. So we always need to be vigilant. We must never compromise our faith. We must never compromise our love for God. Paul's never said it's not important. He said it is important. And he's talking mostly about the church. Something for us to think about. I see things in this world that just blow my mind. You and I both do. We see it in person. We see it in books. We see it in movies. We see it in television. I watch on my television, and I see commercials commercials that are worse than anything I knew as a kid. I kind of joke. There was a theater in Richmond, downtown Richmond on Main Street, called the Lee Art Theater. And they showed what they call adult entertainment. I don't know why they called it that. Why is that? You know, it's another topic maybe. Why is profanity and near profanity called adult entertainment? It's not my entertainment. I'm an adult. And again, just to go over and digress a little bit more, why is beer and whiskey called adult beverages? I'm an adult. Be careful. That's influential stuff. Over time, that can influence, and we believe it and accept it. We can do that in our spiritual lives, too. We can accept things that people say. We need to be careful. We need to be careful of what we see, what we watch, what we read, what we allow into our lives and to our hearts and into our minds. And that's what Paul is talking about here. We need to never compromise our faith, but we need to separate ourselves spiritually from these type of people. And let me tell you, that's not going to be easy, because we are in the world. We are caught up in it. We are to flee, and that's the only way I know to do it. Paul says flee. We need to flee these things. That if it's in the church, if it's outside the church, listen, and it's influencing us, we need to flee. We need to flee. There are a lot of people who go along just to get along. It's best to stand aside and say, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be involved in that. And if you have a friend that does that, then you need to depart that friend. Again, we've all done it, I'm sure, in our lives. That's what we need to do. So we need to stay away from anything that would take us away from God and that would influence us negatively. But on the other hand, this is what Timothy tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, that we are to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. In other words, in a sense, as I look at it, we need to associate ourselves with positive people. We need to stay away from others that would influence us. I made a decision early in my life, even before I was a Christian, knew anything about that, but I made a decision early in my life that I would not associate with negative people. I didn't like what they were doing. I didn't like what they would say. And they always seemed to be angry and bitter about something. And even as a young child, I said, I'm not going to be like that. I mean, we have our moments, but we can be influenced by them. We need to stay away from that kind of stuff. Here in the church, we need to have people who love Jesus Christ. We need to have people who are seeking Jesus Christ. We need to have people who are not teaching the opposite of what God teaches and what the Scripture says. And that's up to us. We are the church. Not only the pastor, not only the officials, we are the church. And we need to demand that we stay on target. And I praise God, I think we are. I love Todd's preaching. I love the fact that he preaches from Scripture. He's a good man, a Christian man. That's what we ought to ensure. And when he comes into the church and starts bringing in negativity, we need to say, not here, fella, not here. So as I said, it's not easy. And there's probably some things that we can't do just by ourselves. We need to just follow the scriptural admonitions. Keep your eye on Christ. Keep him as the center and rely upon the Holy Spirit. Not try to always have to do it ourselves. We don't need to. We're not alone. We have God with us. I hope there's something you can take home today that's of use to you. Understand when he says, be not unequally yoked. Not talking just about marriage. Talking about much about what you and I engage in each and every day and the folks that we associate with. And I would say too, Carolyn won't like this because I get on it a lot, what we allow into our homes. We need to be careful. Not that she brings in evil into our home. She just has some taste in TV that I don't understand. Like, Say Yes to the Dress or something like that. Anyhow, let's look at unequally yoked in the in the sense that Paul meant it, and that's not outside, that's in here. And be ever, ever vigilant that no one comes in to influence us another way. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we just give you all glory and blessings. And we just thank you. And we pray that you would be with everyone here and every family represented. And Lord, I would pray for myself that I would just follow you. And where I have a weakness, Father, strengthen. And where I have a sin, correct. I'm not perfect. No one here is. But we can be better. And we just ask that you would be with us. Let us not be unequally yoked, but let us seek out folks who love you as we do and associate with them and insist on that inside the church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Life is not easy, is it? Not always easy. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus and our faith in God, then it'll be a lot easier. Will you stand, please? Pray with me as I pray. I know you, like I, will be glad to have Todd back next week. But I love his preaching. I'm sorry I got confused at the front, but that's just human. You know, every now and again, as I say, God has ways to keep us all humble. This morning, he humbled me. If you weren't here at the service yesterday for Carlisle, he humbled me there. He works in strange ways. In my talking, I almost referred to Bonnie and Carlisle as Bonnie and Clyde. God lets me know all too often. I'm just human. I'm not perfect, and I have to apologize sometimes about my humanness or my imperfection. But I'll tell you one thing, and you know this, I trust. I love Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I love the Bible. I love the Word of God. I study it every day. And even though I'm not perfect, he's still working on me. And if I slip, I have my supervisor back there, Carol, to keep me in time. But listen, it's important. We can have fun. We can laugh. We can learn Scripture. But it's important that we keep ourselves straight, that we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and that we trust in the Holy Spirit's direction so that we will not go astray, and we need to be vigilant in the church. Amen? Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you, and you thank you so much for all your gifts and blessings. Be with these dear folks as they go. Bless them. Bless the household. Give them strength and courage, as I ask for myself. And Lord, we just want to put ourselves in your hands. We want to walk straight. We want to associate right. And we do not want to compromise your word in any sense. So be with us, bless us, protect us, have mercy upon us. In Christ's name, amen.